We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
Okay, let's have that, please.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hamofetsa seferana mande cheche vralia kapala stevenanas de kanyedia. Mohonde siseni kepo. Come up high. I've brought you high. I've brought you high even into the heavens to access things. I've brought you high even into the heavens to access things. Come access things. Come access things. Oh, unto you it's open to. Unto you it is open. So come in. Come in to access the things of the throne. Coming to access the things of the throne. Oh, coming to hear what the throne is saying. Coming into the chamber and hear what the throne is saying. Oh, Amanash Devoni. Come and hear what the throne is saying. Come and hear. Come. Come and hear what the throne is saying and echo it even to my people. Echo it even to my people and speak to my people. Come and hear and speak to my people. Come and hear and speak to my people. This is the throne, the light from the throne. Is a light in the throne. Is a light in throne. Is a light throne. It's a light throne. It's a throne light. It's a throne light. It's a morning light coming to the morning. And ga, receive light for the time. Receive light for the time. See, the Lord, I've sent a ministering spirit to pave the way for you. I've sent a ministering spirit to guide you. Amen. To guide you even in that order. Even in that order of the height. The ministering spirit I've sent to guide you. He is with you, standing beside you. He is with you, standing beside you. He will lead you. He will guide you even in that terrain. He will lead you and he will guide you even in that terrain. He will guide you. Oh, to you it is open to. It is so. I've opened it to you. I've opened it because you have found mercy to fulfill the requirement of that door. It is open to you. It is open to you. It is open to you. And you minister along with that spirit. That spirit will help you. It will help you to follow the ordinances of that realm. You will minister even to my people because I want to bring them into that door. But I lead you into it first so that you can bring them behind. Oh, see the Lord. You have find mercy. You have find grace. You have find mercy. Yield to my spirit. I yield to my spirit. I yield to my spirit. And you have a free passage. See the Lord.
Can we all say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we give God thanks for the first Sunday of the year, 2025. And the Lord has begun to speak to us already since the bread service and the shofar. Mind of the Lord is being unveiled to us in this season. And I believe that the Lord will further speak to us. Amen. Okay, let's see Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. The exceeding great army are princes under a king. They are your princes under a king, and they have the autonomy to wield authority. I like the word prince. Princes are those that have the authority to wield the power of the throne, or the is an office to use the power of the throne. So you princes are wielders of authority. They can wield authority. So the exceeding great army are princes of the throne. What did I say the exceeding great army are? They are princes of the throne. They are princes of the world to come. Princes of the world to come. They have been raised by princely wisdom from the feast of the Lamb. So the feast of the Lamb, which is the feast upon the mountains of Zion, is a feast to raise princes. You are not following me. What did I say the feast is for? So you can't be a prince except you are fed with princely wisdom. Now, what makes a prince is feast of wisdom. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, so what makes princes are feast of wisdom. It's actually the Lord. It's a table of wisdom that raises princes. What did I say raises princes? Oh, you're not following me. What did I say raises princes? Give me Proverbs. Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. And has yielded her seven pillars. She had killed her beasts and had mingled her wine. She has furnished her table. So you can see, there is a table of wisdom. And the purpose of the table of wisdom is to raise princes of wisdom. What did I say is the purpose of the table of wisdom? So you see, that table of the Lord are ordinances of wisdom. I want you to say the Lord's table. It's a table of hidden wisdom to deal with the princes of this world. It's a table of hidden wisdom. Without that table, you can't deal with the princes that rule this world. So, wisdom, this wisdom here is wisdom of God that is designed to break the power and the influence of fallen princes over men. I hope you are following me this morning. Oh, I'm not sure you are following me. Can we say amen? Amen. Now look at that. So, no, take me back to Proverbs. I've not left. So, She had killed her beast. She has mingled her wine. She had furnished her table. I like this. Take me to Proverbs 8. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. Now, by me, princes rule. He's talking about wisdom. Okay? And nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now, go to the first verse of Proverbs 8. So you know that the New Testament, the actual ministry of the New Testament is a princely revelation of understanding to cause men to access wisdom that can keep us from the powers of corruption. So there is a wisdom that can make you immune to the powers of corruption, to the systems that perish and defile men. Can we all say amen? Amen. Solomon was a very wise man. Let not be surprised and understanding put forth our voice. She started in the top of the high places. I like the word high places. So wisdom that raised princes is wisdom of high places. Everybody say wisdom of high places. I can't hear you. So that is everlasting wisdom. Is high places wisdom. Is wisdom that will set men to become heavenly. So princes that rule in judgment, they are men of abiding heavenly places. They are men of abiding heavenly places that rule from the heavens. So she started in the top of the high places. She, by the way, in the places of the paths. That's what I'm looking for. She cried at the gates and at the entry of the city and the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. O ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Thank you. Yeah, for I will speak of what? Excellent things. Can we all say excellent things? Excellent. Come on, say it with me. Excellent. And the opening of my lips shall be what? Right things. Another word for right things is righteousness. What did I say is another word for right things? So righteousness is the energy for reigning. And is the meal of the table of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is a teacher of righteousness. He's a teacher of righteousness. And a teacher of righteousness is a giver of wisdom for reigning. The teacher of righteousness is a giver of wisdom for reigning. Can we all say amen? Hallelujah. So, you can't reign in righteousness or rule in judgment without the revelation of righteousness. That is what revelation of righteousness is for. Revelation of righteousness is wisdom empowerment for reigning. Take me back to Isaiah. So we can see, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. A king reigning in righteousness is a king that has been raised by wisdom. What did I say? You are not talking to me, oh. So behold, the king shall reign in righteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ is reigning in righteousness. Currently, Jesus Christ is reigning in eternal righteousness. It's not even everlasting. He began to reign from everlasting to eternal. He is an eternal entity on an eternal throne, reigning in eternal righteousness. So we have a king in glory. Can we all say amen? Amen. You see, that throne that Jesus mounted is an eternal throne, and you need eternal wisdom to operate that throne. So Jesus Christ is reigning in righteousness. No doubt about that. But Jesus is raising princes that will rule under him. They will rule. Now, Jesus is seated for to raise princes. What did I say? He's seated, sir, to raise what? Princes. Princes that will rule in judgment. I like the word rule. Rulership is militaristic. What did I say rulership is? It's a military term. Rule. You don't rule if there's nothing to... If there's no opposition or something to bring under subjection. So you can see, our Lord Jesus is already reigning. He's seated. But he's seated until... Take me to Isaiah for Psalm 110. I hope you are with me. Now, I'm showing you the program of God for this season. The passion of Jesus is to raise an army. And Pastor Siji, sir, there is a food that raises them.
It's a feast of fat things. It's a feast of righteousness. It's a feast of wisdom. It's a feast of eating wisdom. Now take me back. Take me, Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand. We just sang that song. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So this is the Father saying to the Son. This is God saying to our Lord Jesus Christ, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies. Thy footstool. Until I make. So Jesus is seated until. What did I say Jesus is? Until I make. So when Jesus sat on the throne after resurrection, the program of making enemies the footstool began. That is what you call restoration program. What did I say it is called? So the army that will make this possible is called restoration army. They are called to do one thing, to see that the enemies are made footstool. Now listen, until I make the enemies his footstool. What did God say? I will make thy enemies. What God will do is that he will raise princes under Jesus that will enforce the reign or the rule of righteousness. Can we all say amen to that? Until I make thy enemies thy footstool. What does it mean to be a footstool? Footstool. Thy enemies thy footstool. Meaning the enemies will be subjected under the feet of our Lord Jesus. Can we all say amen? Amen. Now look at verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. The word send in the New Testament is where you get apostolos. So there is a sent company that they are raised to be sent. They are raised to be sent to do one thing. To rule in the midst of enemies. So this one is not sending after the order of the fivefold. There's a fivefold sending. There's an office of an apostle. This is not an office of an apostle. These are those that have been raised to be sent under Jesus. So you see, the princes that reign in judgment, they are sent ones. Can we say amen? Amen. Isaiah 13, Pastor C, he calls it my sanctified ones. So this kind of sending, you need to come into the sanctification of the Father to carry this kind of oil for sending. It is sent to do one thing, to bring down the enemies of God. If you understand military, the art of warfare, there are certain squads, special squads, that are set apart for special assignment. You know, when America wanted to search out Osama bin Laden, they didn't send a battalion, like they didn't send many soldiers. I'm not sure that special squad were there more than 10 in number, maybe between 7 and 10. They are not more than 10. It was called Operation Jerin. I forgot what they call. There's one name. I forget that name. It was an operation. And somebody knows it. Yeah, I love the way they. It was a clean job, you know. They looked for this guy for about 11 years. The guy was beyond their radar. But they kept searching. When they now got hints that he was in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and they saw where he was, they just deployed their troop. The helicopter landed, I think, on his roof or somewhere. And the guys came out. Not too plenty. So God has his own special squad. What did I say God has? So the exceeding great army is the special squad of God to do one thing. The assignment is not plenty. It's to bring the enemies of God under his footstool. Can we say an amen?
Amen.
That's why I call it a restoration army. It is the fulfillment of the highest prophecy of God, is that a generation of people will fulfill the highest purpose of God by bringing all the enemies of God under his footstool. Because you cannot fulfill prophecy without judging wickedness. You cannot fulfill the prophecy of God for the church in this dispensation. Pastor Friday, it's impossible for the church in this dispensation to fulfill our highest purpose without judging the enemies of God. So the Lord shall send, I like the word send, the rod of thy strength. And what? Out of Zion. So who are these rod? They are people. Now, what you inherit becomes what you are. So to have a rod of iron means that you have received a reward in eternal life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
To have the rod of iron means that you have become a rod. So I like the word of the Lord. So the Lord is sending the people as a rod. So the exceeding great army, they are the rod of God. To subject the enemies of God under his feet. So the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of thy enemy. Sir, the purpose of a rod is to rule. What did I say is the purpose of a rod? Is to rule enemies of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's go there. Hallelujah. I can't hear your amen. Can we all say amen? Now look at verse 23. For every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. So there is an end. So, Pastor CG, amen. The exceeding great army is an army of the end. Or is there an army to bring the end? So God wants things to end. Let's all say that. Or this age to end. So this age will not end until enemies are brought under his footstool. You want to end this age? There is a war. There is a fight. You know? Hallelujah. That guy is not trending anymore. But I used to like that statement, you know? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I like the, I says, I'm the war. I'm the fight. But I'm not in the bosque. But I like the fight. They say, I'm the war. I'm the fight. So the exceeding great army, they are what? The war. They are the war, go. They are the fight. But they are not in the bosque. They are the exceeding what? Great army. Hallelujah! Glory to God. So there come at the end. So the end will not end until enemies are ended. You need to end enemies. You know what it means to end enemies? Slaughter them. You know, interestingly, Pastor CG, that the Revelations 19 ended with the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon was now the precipice for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So there were spoils of war already. So you can see that the end will not end until we descend the rod of God's strength out of Zion. When they say the out of Zion, this, you see, you know that the man-child came out of the womb of Zion. The man-child came out of the woman. That woman is Zion. Oh, out of Zion. So the man-child is the rod. What did I say the man-child is? Okay, let's go there. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians. Revelations 12. Revelations chapter 12. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, and here appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. So the sun here is the light of the Father. Or the righteousness of the Father. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. So this is the light of the everlasting God. and the moon under our feet. The moon there, you know, the moon does not have a light of its own. So this is the light of Christ. So the light of Christ is actually a derivative of the light of the Father. Christ's light is derivative of the Father's light. Can we say amen? Amen. Now I'm talking about the light of the faith of Christ. It is a type of light in the sanctuary. So moonlight is sanctuary light. It's a lesser light than sun. So the moon under our feet and upon our a crown of 12 stars. So all this is these are futures of the man-child. You know, the man-child church is a church of completeness. What did I say the man-child church is? So it has moon, it has sun, it has stars. They are all glories. Oh, I need your response. I need people that will be encouraging me. What did I say it has? It has moon. It has what? Sun, star. So I said moonlight, sunlight, starlight are glories. So the man-child church has all the lights. It has all the lights. 1 Corinthians 15. There's a glory of the sun. Glory there is light. Or wisdom. Or understanding. Because glory is wisdom. So there's a glory of the sun. Another glory of the moon. So moon has glory. Oh, you didn't hear what I said? He's talking about there's a wisdom in the moon. This is the wisdom of Christ light. They are saying that he has his own glory. And what? Another the glory of stars. For star different what? From star in glory. So they are glories. So the man-child church had the wisdom of Christ. He had the wisdom of the Father. Can we say amen? I can't hear amen. And he had the wisdom of God. So while she was in the womb, she had all the lights. But she needed what? She now needed to be rewarded with the light of the true God. So she had the wisdom of Christ, the wisdom of the Father, the wisdom of the true God. The wisdom of the true God is stars. When you are moving into the realm of the true God, you are moving into the world of stars. Because stars are for crowning. So she had all the stars. She had all the lights. So this was that woman was Zion that carried the baby. So all we are seeing on the woman are the futures of the baby. Are you interested? These are things we should be learning at this time. Not stories, sir. The warfare against the church. The church must first grow in understanding and knowledge. You cannot fight advanced warfare with shakabula. So if you don't feed the church with understanding, you are not preparing them to be an army. Army training starts with knowledge. What did I say, sir? Discipline of understanding. Discipline of knowledge. Opening your understanding by scriptures. We have to start from there. Glory to God. So you can see. Revelation 12. So, 12 stars. 12 is a number of full gov. 12 is a number of God government. 12 gates. 12 cities. 12 names. 12 angels. 12 foundations. It's a full God government. Full kingdom government. So this is a church that has come into the fullness of the government of God. So the exceeding great army is an army that is everlasting and is pressing into eternal life. Yes, they are pressing into eternal life. So that's what we are seeing. Now look at that. It says, she being what? With a child crying and traveling in birth, pain to be delivered. Let me sit down. Pain to be delivered. Next verse, please. And there appeared what? Another wonder in heaven. Like the word wonder. So we have two wonders. So the man child was a wonder. The opposition was another wonder. I like the word another, meaning another type of wonder. And behold, the great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, and his tail drew what? A third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the head. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was what? Ready to be delivered. For to what? Devour a child. As soon as it was born. That word devour there is corruption. The word devour there, like I've taught you before, was used by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. That your adversary, Roman like a wounded lion, seeking for who to devour. To devour there is to corrupt the soul. What does it mean to devour? It's for the soul to be brought under the laws of corruption. It is the what you call gates of hell. Is a gate of corruption. The highest machinery of Satan is what you call the gates of hell. And that gate, what it does is to devour the soul, is to corrupt the soul, is to stain the soul with death. Is to mutate the soul. So when they devour the soul, they make the soul begins to spoil. So to devouring the soul is spoiling the soul. When you see an animal, a lion, a wild beast, devour a prey, it spoils it. When they take you to surgical chair, they can't surgical anything. When a lion has devoured, and amen, can we all say amen?
Amen?
I saw one movie one time. I think it was attacked by someone. It was about a wounded lion. That lion was, a wounded lion is a terrible lion, sir. They don't eat for food, they eat to devour. I don't know what that lion, I think it's, they attacked his pride. And maybe killed some of, he was the only one remaining in his pride. So when you want to wound, get a lion angry, attack his pride. The pride of lions. So I mean, they are taking away the lionesses, taking away the cubs. So he became ferocious. I got forgotten the name. Became ferocious, angry. So he was just killing people. Lions don't kill for fun like that. Yeah. Lions are not like tigers. Tigers are more nasty. Lions, if they are not hungry, they may not kill you. If you are not hungry, they may just look at you and leave you. They have one kind of... there was a time I saw an honey badger was fighting a lion. I was just laughing. And the honey badger was attacking the lion. And the lion was just... you understand what I'm talking about? I'm just looking. If I slap you, boy. But you know the very... The lion... I think it was a lioness. And the lioness are more ferocious. In hunting, the lioness left the honey badger. I was just shocked. That's a lion. There were two. Just let's walk away. So they left you. The only part that was doing like this. So lions are like that. But if you want to see the ferocity of a lion, go after their pride. So when you say a wounded lion, a roaring lion, some translations actually say wounded. It means that his pride has been attacked. He's ready to devour anything at sight. So to devour, this devouring is a desperation, is a frustration, because the man-child church, the church in the womb, has already begun to conquer all enemies. It remains only the dragon. You didn't get that. The exceeding great army has dealt with all the enemies. It remains only the dragon himself. He remains the last boss. You know those boss film? So he was already wounded. Was ready to defer. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go there. I want to explain it so that you understand. So God is raising an army that will damage darkness. Yeah. Oh my. I said, God is raising an army that will damage darkness. That will damage. What is it? Damage. Damage. So now look at it. Peter was saying, is interpreting this with epistle wisdom. It says, be sober. Be vigilant. Take vigil. Vigilant. Don't sleep the sleep of death. Both physically and spiritually. Amen. You know, there's a difference between there's when you sleep, sleep is like you are ignorant. When you say somebody is sleeping, he's ignorant. He has not come into the consciousness of a reality. Many Christians are sleeping. They are sleeping. They don't even know what is happening. When you say somebody is asleep, is ignorant. Number one, you are ignorant of the times. When you are ignorant of the times, you are sleeping. Some people will say, why are these people saying they are just extreme? Sir, you are sleepy. I pray that you will not be awoken by destruction. Yes. That's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says what? But of times and seasons. I don't need to write you. Look at that. I just want to start from verse 1. Let me interpret it properly. But of times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you. This was a powerful church at the edge of what God was doing. So many in this church were not sleeping. But there were some in that church that were sleeping. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety. Somebody saying peace and safety in a time of war. What do you think is happening to him? Unsoon. You are in delusion. There is war. You are saying peace and safety. You know, this peace and safety looks like power of positive confession. When they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction shall come upon them. Why? Because it was a season. The season was a season of battle. So they were ignorant of what was happening. He says, as travail shall come upon a woman with a child and shall not escape. Now look at next verse, verse 3. It says, verse 4, please. For but ye, brethren, I like that word, but, are not what? But that the day should what? Overtake thee as a thief. You are not in darkness. So when you are asleep, you are in darkness. You are ignorant. You are ignorant of the times. When you are ignorant of the times, the enemy takes advantage over you. I've taught you this before. The enemy overtakes you. He said, let that day overtake you as a thief. He says, ye are children of what? Light. Meaning you are children of understanding. You understand the times. You have a revelation of God's will. And the children of the day, we are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Therefore, let us not sleep. What does it mean to sleep? It's to be overtaken by cares of this life. Ogunruni, yes, sir. Cares of life is sleeping tablets. When you pursue cares of life, you are asleep. Thank you for giving me this scripture. It's what I had in my soul. And take it to yourself. No, go up a little bit. Let me start. So when you overtake it, and let me tell you, the last days are days of cares. The last days are days of cares. What are people doing in the last days? Marrying, giving to marrying. It's a type of what was happening in the day of Noah. People are busy living their life dreams out, fulfilling their dreams. Ain't not bad fulfilling your dreams, or God has his own dream. Wrong thing at the wrong time. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, what are those things? This is the same thing with Matthew 24. Am I right? But let's see the Luke version, okay? I am telling you that times of trial are coming upon the earth. I've been saying this for a while. I've been saying this since 2020. Times of trial are still coming upon the earth. Times of trial are still coming upon the earth. This is not the time to play hanky pranky with your walk with God. For these are verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign shall be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye not be what? Deceived. Okay? So there is deception. The activity of deception heightens in the times of the end. Now, when you are deceived, you don't know what is happening. You know what deception is? Deception is that you are not even aware that they have deceived you. Want it bear? Oh, them. You have been duped, and you are not aware. You have been swindled. Give me what? You have been scammed. Give me more English word. Fire me word. You have Jones. No. I need word. What is scam, sir? So the activity of deception is increased in the last days by scammers. Scammers are spirits in the air that use men. That's what Paul calls seducing spirit and doctrine of devils. So it is teaching that we scam people. Oh, Ben, sir. So you need to take it what you hear. Teachings will scam people. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, in the last days, many will give themselves to what? Will give themselves to sign of teachers. Teaching fable. Yoruba called it fable. I'm sure they called it from fable. Am I right? Thank you. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned on to what? Fable. For the time will come, look at that. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This will not be your portion. Yeah. They're not endure sound doctrine. So when you cannot endure sound doctrine, you'll be deceived. They don't know, in that church, they don't know what are taking people's time. You are ready to be scammed. If you cannot endure sound doctrine, you will receive deception gladly. Oh, it's anymore, Lord, it's a bear. They will scam you, not even know. For the time will come where they, you should not be part of this day. This day that cannot endure sound doctrine, at the same day they are saying peace and safety. Come on, are you not seeing the connection? They are the same saying peace and safety. Then sudden destruction will hit them. That will not be your portion. Amen. The time will come when they will not endure, but you have to endure sound doctrine. That's it. It's not just by saying amen. What bad doctrine, Sarah? What jeje, Sarah? What jeje, Sarah? Sarah. I should tell you. Bere doctrine, Sarah. Waba bere doctrine, Sarah. Aha. Aha. So if you don't take a bere doctrine, you know, have you never thought the people that are deceived, they could not take what? Sound doctrine. So one baje abere aje Sarah or bad doctrine Sarah. If they don't vaccinate you, you will be immune. You will not be immune. Arukarun, anila arukarun. So these are arun of the soul, diseases, deception. You know, some people in deception, they have been talking as if they know what they are doing. If you stay in Nigeria, you don't know what you are doing. Shut up! You think it's everybody that lives by what they feed on? You think all of us are stupid? We live by the will of God. Just look at you talk down on people that are serving God, that are following the program of God. You don't know. You are planning to suffer in the future. You see, the people that will have immunity against the last days are people that followed God. They have learned to follow God. They can hear God. They can do the will of God. They have learned to endure hardness. You are living for your belly. You are condemning people that are serving God. You don't know what you are doing. A time will come when your money will not save you. It cannot save you, sir. Eh? How much will your money do during COVID year? There's something that is richer than money. It's called grace of God, wisdom of God, life of God. Is that what you are having? Amen. If you like money more than God, you will hate me. I don't have issues with money. Money should be used. Eh? But I put God where God belongs. So see, let me finish Timothy. Eh? It says, but after their own loss, they shall heap to themselves teachers. How many teachers? You gotta look for a teacher that will teach you what you want to hear. I just pray for you. Eh? Please don't be offended at me if I'm teaching you the good thing. But one thing I know about myself, I'm not an itchy teacher. I won't do that. I would rather die than get to that point. You understand? So you will hear sound doctrine from my mouth. Amen. Till I meet Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Huh? He said, they shall turn away their ears from truth and turn into fables. So these ones are those that will be overtaken by what? Destruction. Okay, take me back to Luke 21. Quickly, let's run. I think this is the direction God wants me to come through. Okay? Can we all say amen? Amen. So, take it that no one be deceived, but many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ. Thank you. And the time draweth near. Go not after them. Nah? But where ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For this things must first come to pass. But the end is not what? By and by. So you know, Jesus, you know, a lot of people say, well, we don't know the day. Don't worry about the day. Yeah, we don't know the day, but we should know times and seasons. Jesus gave us a lot of origo indices. So when you want, you know, they say that you can be plain. But when, you know, at times some people, they can play, but when exam is coming, you see some very unserious students. They look unserious anyway, but they are not unserious. When they are in class, they'll be laughing, distracting other people. But when exam comes, you not see them. Have you met people like that? They will disappear. They will go and be reading. The person already knows the exam is coming. So when you see these signs already playing out, they are telling you that time for playing is what? Is over. Time for playing God is over. Time for playing church is over. Time for playing lip service to things of God is over. Now, give me the next verse, please. We are making a journey. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in what? Diverse places and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven. Jesus even called it fearful sights. Fearful sights. Pastor Lesimus, you can't bind fearful sights. I said, we will not see fearful sights. It's going to happen. You can't stop this. They are the designs of the last days. Huh? And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. And famines and... Next verse 12. But before all this, they shall lay thy hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Many of the apostles fulfilled this. And it shall still be fulfilled again. Not just in the time of the early apostles, but in the last day apostles. The last day apostolic church. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mountain of wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay, nor resist. It's in the face of opposition that you get this one. Eh? And you shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, and kings, foes, and friends. Some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And it shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not any of your head, what? Perish. No, you know, amen. So what was Jesus really saying here? He's saying they will deliver you up. He said you shall not perish. Who killed Paul? Who killed Paul? Are you not sure? Who killed Paul? Rome killed Paul. Did Paul perish? But was he killed? Oh, I need you to be very swift. Now, did they succeed in killing Paul? But did he perish? So you now know what that scripture meant. So that's why I told you at the beginning of the year that you should fear soul death more than body death. If you are not like that, you can't serve God with apostolic energy. Because there will be persecution at times that might want to go for your physical life against you standing or betraying your faith. Fear soul death more than body death. The real death is the dying of the soul. Corruption in the soul. Can we say amen? As believers, we sleep. We don't die. But there is a death that the adversary wants to corrupt us with. So there shall not any of your hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Can we all shout that out? In your patience possess ye your souls. You are not answering me, oh. Say that one more time. So what Paul is saying, what Jesus is saying, in the midst of tribulation and trials, because the count in all joy, brethren, when you go to diverse temptations and trials, for the trying of your faith, work it out what? Patience. And let patience have what? A perfect work. So that you can be what? Complete and entire, wanting nothing. Complete and entire, wanting nothing. So, your soul possessing in patience is your soul possessing life. You come into the inheritance of life through patience. So, when God increases the external heat on the outside, listen to me. When there is pressure on the outside, it's because God wants you to come into what? Inheritance. That's why they put John into tribulation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, am your companion. Look at that. I, John, am your brother and companion in tribulation and in kingdom and what? Patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. So because it's through tribulation, many tribulations, that we enter the kingdom. So when they increase trouble on the outside, either economically, politically, territorially, listen to this. If God permits this, it's because of our salvation. God wants that external shaking to force us to journey within. So in patience, they are saying in patience, meaning all that will bring you into patience. Patience is a dominion in the kingdom. It's a dominion in the everlasting kingdom. It's a dominion in the everlasting kingdom. So impatience possess your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. I like the word possess your soul. Possess your soul. Possess your soul. Eh? Possess your soul. Thank you. So when you possess your soul, you become immune to the enemies of your soul. And when Jerusalem, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation therefore what is nigh. Verse 21, I don't want to go into that. That's a little bit historical. The land them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and them, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not they that in the countries enter there unto. For these be what? The days of vengeance. That I like the word days of vengeance. Can we all say that? For all things which are written may be what? Fulfilled. But what to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days? For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. Now, I like the word days of vengeance. The days of vengeance are days of releasing the exceeding great army. What did I say the days of vengeance are? Come on, what did I say the days of vengeance are? So, all the tribulations of the last days will bring us into the season called the days of vengeance. Same thing that Psalm 110 calls the day of his power. The day of his vengeance. Why is it vengeance? Ask me why. God will revenge all his enemies. So it's the day of his own vengeance. It's the day of his power. But it's the day of his vengeance. So it's the day of raising his army. The day where God raises his army. God knows how to fight. He's a man of war, but he fights strategically. So in the days of vengeance, he will raise an army that will revenge all disobedience. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. So for these be the days of vengeance that all things be destroyed. So I'm saying, everybody say days of vengeance. Amen. So the exceeding great army are armies of his vengeance. They don't live for themselves. They are living for one purpose. To see all the enemies of God brought under where? His footstool. But woe unto them that will charge. To them give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land that wrought upon his people. Now I'm going somewhere. Continue. Then I'll come back to days of vengeance. Can we all say amen? And they shall fall by the hedge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. Now take me to next verse, please. That's where I'm looking for. Thank you, verse 26. Verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and what? And what? In the stars. Look at that. And upon the heads, distress of nations. I hope you are all following. There shall be distress of all nations. He didn't say some nations. Yeah. Distress of nations, all nations, yeah. When there's distress upon the earth, it covers all nations. With perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. Look at that. The seas and the waves roaring. Men's heart failing them for fear. And for looking after those things that are what? Coming unto them. So this is what I'm saying. Men's heart will fail them because they are not prepared for the times. Men's heart will fail them. We know when you say somebody's heart is failing them. They are afraid. They have lost hope. A lot of people have lost hope in Nigeria. That's the general notion. I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, God is a specialist in turning around hopeless situation. That God even likes it when things are hopeless. That is when he now begins a miracle. There's no way we can recall that God really moved over Nigeria and wrought a miracle if it has not come to his hand. Are you with me? Looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So this is my point. The armies of his vengeance are designed to judge enemies. Am I right? Can we all say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So like I was saying, I'm trying to connect a thought that that are overtaken by these things are those that are given to the pleasure of the last days. There's a place the Bible speaks about, thank you, and take it to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be what? Overcharged. And with what? Surfeited. Can you give me a recent translation to this? Overcharged. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not what? Weighed down. And what? Depressed with giddiness of debauchery. Can you give me something a little bit more contemporary? Maybe something more simple, a little bit. I just want everybody to see the meaning of this particular verse. So when you see somebody is asleep and is being overtaken, it's because something else is getting their attention. Can we say amen? Amen. You know, when they call you to come to join the army and become kitted, you can answer other calls. So watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you what? Unaware. This is not talking about rapture. It's not talking about rapture. It's talking about what? The seasons of the end, where there will be so much trials and tribulations on the earth. Can we all say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. This is the season where men should what? Come into becoming Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Amen. When you take me to Isaiah 32. Behold, the king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule what? In judgment. Look at that. Princes shall reign in righteousness. Princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an what? Hiding place from the wind. Meaning there will be wind. You can't stop the wind. The best you can do is to become an hiding place. Oh, you're not saying amen. Amen. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. The four winds will blow on the earth. You cannot stop that. And the plan of the wind is to hurt the earth. But they say, wait, till we seal the sands of God on our forehead. So when they seal sands, what are they going to do to the earth? They will hurt the earth. Can we all say amen? Amen. Thank you. So a man shall be as an hiding place from the winds. So I like that hiding place is a state that you must arrive at. For you to be an hiding place, you must be armed with God's nature. What did I say you must be? Oh, you're not talking to me, sir. You must be armed with God's life, with God's nature. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. Well, you know what a tempest is? It's a stronger raging wind, storm. So, you're not just an hiding place, you'll be a covert. You become a refuge. Can we say amen? So, this is the design of God for the season of the end. If God is going to raise an army that will avenge all disobedience, there are men that can withstand the darkness of the times. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Can we say amen? Now take me back to Psalm 2. So princes, like I said, are raised by feast of wisdom. They are princes that can rule in the midst of their enemies. So the rule in judgment is to bring the wisdom of God into display over princes in the air. I like the way Paul puts it in Ephesians 3. He calls it the manifold wisdom of God. Those are the judgment of princes. They are able to use manifold wisdom to judge the enemies of God. Can we say amen? Amen. Thank you. To the intent that all principalities and powers may take me there. Ephesians 3 verse 10. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So the manifold wisdom of God is what will prepare the rod of strength. It will prepare them. A people becomes the rod of strength. Rod of strength. So the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of thy enemy. So nothing can rule in the midst. It's not all right to rule from ever say mist. Come on, say it again. Say it one more time. Mist is the center, the headquarters of satanic government. So the rod goes directly to the heart of the wisdom of the enemy. Rule in the midst. Execute judgment in the midst. So God is raising wisdom that can rule in the midst. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Now take me to Revelation 12. So you can see the man child was in the womb. Thank you, God. God has been able to collect me back. Which was ready to be, the woman was ready to be delivered for to devour a child as soon as it was born. Now look at verse 5. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. Look at that. So you can see the word rule. And notice that rule is always attached to rod. Amen. What did I say? So she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. So the rod of iron is the signet of authority that enemies respond to. Actually, they will be subject to that rod. The rod is the demonstration of the power of the throne. I call it the radical power of the throne. When you see the rod, it's the throne that is at work. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Oh, I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So, it means ruling nations means that the throne is an entity to subject enemies. When you want to subject enemies, the throne power is released. Enemies are subjected totally. So, when Paul was talking about that in 1 Corinthians 15, when he says, he shall put even all the enemies under his, even death. Death will not be put as a footstool until the man-child company accesses radical power. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
For he must reign until his enemies be. He must reign till he had put all enemies. I like the word reigning. So like I've taught you before, reigning begins from everlasting life. Romans chapter 5 from verse 21. You start reigning when you become immune to corruption. What did I say? I can't hear you. So reigning begins from everlasting life, Pastor CG. Before you access rod, you have started reigning. So, but everlasting reign is not full reigning because the throne is not yet fully involved. The rod is not fully involved. The rod of iron is a sense in eternal life. It is an understanding of the only true God that can enforce throne over enemies. And as sin has reigned unto death, look at that. So my grace reigned through what? Righteousness unto. So you start reigning in grace in everlasting life. True everlasting righteousness, reigning began. So how do you begin to reign? You become immune to corruption. How do I describe the reign? Immunity to corruption. When you begin to become immune to the forces of death, you begin to reign in everlasting life. But the reign of everlasting life is unto eternal life. So that grace might work through righteousness. Through everlasting righteousness. Unto eternal life. You see that unto that Paul is writing here is what the man child came into when the man child accessed the rod of iron. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So, when I begin to acquire the nature of the Father, I begin to get immune to the forces of death, forces of corruption, forces of perishing, laws of sin. When you say you are an army, that is what it means to be an army. You are harmed against. What did I say? It is to be an army. You are harmed. You are harmed. To be harmed is to develop a nature that the enemy cannot break through. It's to develop a life that is the enemy cannot understand. It's to be shielded by forces of God's life that are strength. It's to become a stronghold. It's to become a stronghold. Now, what do you mean? What it means to be a stronghold? You are a fortress of God's life. Now, before I go into talking about the rod, take me to 1 John chapter 5. From verse 18. So to be kept in the love of God is to be kept from perishing. To be kept in the love of God is to be kept from perishing. Let's say somebody is kept. It's not easy to be kept. Now when you are kept, you cannot be devoured. So it means that, Pastor Sichi, until you journey to the point where you are kept in the love of God, you are still immune to being devoured. I said that devouring is perishing. It's corruption. Remember, Peter was one in the churches. You know, those men, they were men of wisdom. They were men of advanced spiritual warfare. They were elders. They knew how to protect the church from assault of Satan. Now, start from verse 5. First Peter, I'll come to John. First Peter chapter 5. Start from verse 5. Thank you. Yes, I know I taught you this. Okay? First, they teach you the ordinance of submission. Where you're under, it is difficult for Satan to assault you. Then look at the next verse. Humble therefore yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due time you shall what? He shall exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care. That's one thing that takes people out of covering. Care. I know, there are cares for you at all levels. Casting your care upon him for a cares. Now, so, if you have cares, you can't be sober. What did I say? When your life has been wrapped around by cares, you cannot be a good soldier. Because you will be what? Entangled by similar affairs. My wife knows what I can't handle, I pray about. And I don't disturb myself. I try as much as possible for nothing to worry me. What we say? Shake or cookie, worry in me. Now, what does worry do? Worry does nothing. It's a energy in futility. Instead of worrying, I'd rather pray. There's wisdom in praying. And that prayer, not even praying under pressure. You know, there's a way you can pray, you are praying. Bami. I'm praying with faith in my heart that there's nothing God cannot handle. So I like what casting your care. It takes faith to cast your care. Casting your care upon the Lord, upon him, for he careth for you. It takes faith. In fact, it takes you to know him to cast your care. So a lot of people cannot cast their care upon the Lord because they don't know the Lord. They rather want to solve their problem themselves in their own way. The issue at times is not even that you don't want to that. You don't want to solve your problem. It's not like you want to solve your problem, but you want things done your own way. So you don't trust the leading of the Spirit. You don't trust the way God has designed it. So you want to handle it yourself. So to cast your care is to allow God to determine everything, including the way he handles the thing. Can we say amen? Oh, I can't hear you say amen. Because if you are not casting your cares, you'll be overcharged with surfeiting. You'll be overcharged by issues of life. You'll be entangled by issues. Oh, my wine there. Our spirits, my wine there. With the wine meaning, they will wine you, sir. Because you are heavy. Sir, if you want to become part of this exceeding great army, one characteristic is that you must be light. Because it's an army in the air. It's an Air Force army. The exceeding great army is air force. What I mean is air force. They take a flight to the heavens. If you have weight, you cannot be part of this army. So they have to demobilize weights in your life. That your amen is so weak. I said they have to demobilize weights. Things that are characterized as weights, worries, weights, useless vanities. Paul, exercise is called vanity of vanities. So, and those are the things that are our care. So, somebody entered 2025 with mind that God, God, there, she quit last year. What she hear? So, this year is not for Uncle Thor, she quit last year. And my Yoruba is not complete. It is you that they want to. You will not feel cope. God's challenge is that you are not complete. So, if there's anything God wants to do, this He wants to bring you more into completion. You are worried about things that they didn't do last year. You have come into this thing will be done this year. God is saying this one a little bit. If you know what is ahead of you. If you know what is ahead of the world, what is ahead of this age, you will place more premium upon you becoming completed in Him. Oh, I can't hear you say amen. Amen. So casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. So to cast your care means that you trust Him, that He's able to handle cares. While you attend to Him. So be sober. Be vigilant. So when you have cares, you can't be sober. When you have cares, you can't be vigilant. And when you are not sober and vigilant, you'll be devoured. He come and share. You have opened a gateway for spirits to assault you. Because you advance with the devil as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking from whom what? He may devour. Verse 9. Thank you. Whom resist steadfast what? In the faith. Knowing that what? The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I like the word resist. So, the word resist is to become immune. You know, I told you stand against. What do I call resist? So, it means you can't withstand. Now, withstand means you have what it takes to wage a combative defense against an advancing force. There's a movie called Troy. The king of that city said, no army has breached those walls in 1,000 years. And truly, that war was a 10-year war. Greeks could not breach the walls of Troy. The only way they entered into Troy was by deception. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Odysseus of Ithaca, crafted. He was a crafty soul. So he crafted a plan that they left angry, they left the Trojans defeated, but they went to hide somewhere. They now designed a Trojan horse, what you call the Trojan horse, as a gift to the Trojans. So those ones did not know. They were so excited that they have won the war. Please don't celebrate too early. They're excited that I wonder what they're already rejoicing. Meanwhile, the soldiers that were destroying the city were inside that big horse. So when they wanted to take it in, one of them says, destroy, burn this horse. The king was pride. Burn this horse. Don't take this gift from the Greeks. You know, let me tell you this. You know, at times we do well with combat war than seductive war. Sometimes we do well in persecution than infiltration. When Satan cannot stop you by fighting you, he will join you. He'll be like your friend. So you now have sport spot for him. You know what I'm talking about? So there are some of the spirits you have been worrying. Some of them, when they notice that stand opposition gets you tougher, they will change gear. They will not start using soft words. It's all over the Bible. They say, I also want to learn Christ. Can I come and teach me now? Is it this message only for you? Satan can change tone to get your attention. So immediately the king allowed it to enter. While they were drunk in the night and they were sleeping, they came down and burned the whole city. So one of the things you need to be careful of this year is infiltration. Seduction. So once you are casting your, once you don't cast your care upon him, you are not sober, you are not vigilant. And like I said, to resist means that you have what it takes to mount successful defense against the adversary. So for, before the rod of iron is even given to the man-child had overcome the enemy. The purpose of the rod of iron is to is subjection, is total subjection. But there's something called being kept from the wicked one. What did I say? Being kept means that the enemy is around you. He cannot touch you, cannot defy you, but he's still around. You know, I can be by your side. I can't do anything to you. And God said that is not enough. God wants you to subject the enemy. Bring them into subjection. So that is the purpose of the rod of iron. But before that, you must be kept. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that begotten of God keepeth himself. So the exceeding great army is an army of exceeding great and precious promises by which you become partakers of the divine nature. How do you keep yourself? Divine nature. It's a nature that keeps himself. Divine nature is a nature that keeps himself. By nature, it keeps himself. Why? That nature cannot be corrupted. It cannot be defiled. It cannot fade away. So anybody buying into divine nature is planning for a future of being kept. Kept from loss of perishing. Glory to God. By these exceeding great and precious promises, by them we become what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. So, divine nature is to be kept, is to keep yourself. Having divine nature, you did not have this when you got born again. You know, that was what we taught before. And then by teaching this, some of us have attracted opposition and tagged heretics. But with time, everybody will agree. Look at it again. Let's look at this scripture very well. Let's look at it. Let's start from verse 3. Are you with me? I can't hear you. Say amen. Amen. According as his divine power had given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So your calling is glory and virtue. So those churches then, they were churches of divine power. They had divine power already. Meaning they are the nature of the new man. Power there is the nature to, is power to the new man. They are power of the new man, which was the nature, or the clothing or garment of Christ. Christ the new man. So you have Christ the new man. You have Christ the everlasting man. And then you have Christ the eternal man. They are all dimensions of Christ likeness. All is not the same. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. So according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, please. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great. And what? So you start from precious promises. Bible at times do puzzle. Preciousness begins from charity. Can we say amen? When a soul enters into charity, becomes precious in the sight of God, that soul begins to attract the coming of the living God. Can we say amen? I think that's in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, can we go there? Let me just explain this a little bit. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. To whom coming as unto a living stone, allowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. And what? Precious. So there's a preciousness in the first seasons of everlasting life. When a soul has dies to this world, it becomes precious in the sight of God. You know that scripture? Precious what? Oh, you're not following. You're slow. Precious what? In the sight of God is the what? Death. It's not physical death. It's the dying to this world. When you die to this world, you become precious in God's sight. And so you now begin to make... So the first season of someone crossing from the sanctuary into the most holy is preciousness. You become precious. Death to this world is a precious. Ah, you don't know how heaven sees us. When we die to this world, we are precious before them. Ah, my son Emmanuel has counted this world vain. The thing touches their hearts. Ah, he has counted this world vain. I know a certain sense of God. You know, I'm saying this just to encourage you. There are certain journeys I've journeyed in God. I knew God was pleased. Yes, I knew God was pleased. They were happy. At times you see them in prophecy. When prophecy comes concerning somebody, you see the level of joy that God has when you make obedience. So anytime you journey away from this world, you become precious. Oh, you didn't hear that. You become precious. So the season of preciousness begins from what? Death to this world. Huh? Precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. Then you now move into exceeding great. Yeah? So the two seasons in partaking of divine nature are first precious promises. What did I say? Ever say precious promises? Can we say amen?
Amen.
What did I say? So precious promises are yea promises. They are promises of God in him are yea and amen. All the promises of God. So God has promises. Eh? And some of the promises are yea. And some of the promises are amen. Amen means so be it. It means completion. So exceeding great promises are amen promises. So they are promises. When you say exceeding great army, eh? Is a true army. Come on, can we say amen?
Amen?
It's an army of the true God. It's not just an army of the living God. In scripture, you have armies of the living God. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David was combating Goliath, what David told Goliath says, ah, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Huh? Defiling the armies of the living God. So you have armies of the living God. So armies of the living God are armies of precious promises. You can see it's plural. There are also promises. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So, but I'm telling you, the exceeding great army is beyond the armies of the living God. These armies of the living God, they can't fight death. They're not equipped to fight death. They can deal with sin, but they can't deal with corruption. They can deal with they can deal with corruptible. Is it corruptible or corruption? Corruption. They can deal with corruption. But to now deal, to death itself, you need to journey into seasons of the true God. But all these are promises of the divine nature. So when you have divine nature in its fullness, you are kept from the wicked one. Take me first. So the armies, the exceeding great army, they are kept from the wicked one.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
There are also seasons of overcoming the wicked one. There are seasons. You have the accuser. The era of the accuser is the last season. So even overcoming the enemy is in seasons. There's accuser of the brethren. there's the devil. So you need all the promises of God that are what? Yeah and amen. To overcome all of the wicked one. All of the vices of the wicked one. All of the forces of corruption. So to be kept is that you have completed the journey into a place where you are kept. That nature that is called divine has what it takes to keep you. I say we will grow in this nature. If there's anything to do in 2025, get more divine. Get more divine. Amen. You don't have any vision. I'm giving you vision for 2025. Because this is what will keep you from the trials of the earth. Hallelujah. You have something inside that cannot be shaken. We receive in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That kingdom is an image in man. We receive in a kingdom that cannot be moved. So, sir, if you don't have a kingdom that cannot be moved, you'll be moved by other kingdoms. You'll be moved by kingdoms. Look at that. So, 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. So we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. Jude 20. Beloved, build up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I've taught you this before. I don't want to go into it. It's beyond praying with tongues. Can we say amen? It's beyond that. You pray with tongues. You pray. You begin with praying with tongues. Then you now enter to praying with. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So those are praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, those are in the kingdom of the Father. They have moved into the understanding of the Father's life. They are moving into the dominion of God. He says, keeping yourself in the love of God. So to be kept in the love of God is to be immune to the wicked one. What did I say? So when you say you are an army, that's what it means. You are harmed against wickedness. You are harmed against iniquity. You are harmed against corruption. That's army. You are harmed. You are harmed. Now what harms you are the cloak of God or the armories of God. Thank you. What harms you? You know that God himself has his own armories. Amen. There's a place in Isaiah 59 where God enters into battle. And he puts on his own cloak. Is it Isaiah 59? So, to be harmed is to be harmed with God's nature. So, you know that love is an armor of God. Faith is an armor of God. Grace is an armor of God. Meekness is an armor of God. Peace is an armor of God. Mercy is an armor of God. Those are vestures of God. So these are things to invest in. Can we say amen? I'm not saying don't look for investments. Investments are good. But invest more. In armories of God. Invest more. That's what you should be investing in. You buy into doctrine of God. You buy into leading of the Spirit. You buy into training in righteousness. You buy into being what? Clothed with the garments of God. Thank you. Isaiah 59. Start from verse 16. And he saw that there was no man. I wonder that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his harm. You know the problem? His harm. So what brought him salvation? His harm. Brought salvation to him. And his righteousness, it sustained him. Next verse. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate. And the helmet of salvation upon his head. This is God, though.
Yes, sir.
So if God is putting on things, what about you? God has armors. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. And was clad with zeal as a cloak. So God has a garment of vengeance. What is that garment of vengeance for? To judge his enemies. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That's vengeance against all disobediences. So to be kept is to be made immune. So you first, the first operation of the harm is of the exceeding great harm is to be kept from the wicked one. That is what it means to be immune to wickedness, or to be immune to corruption, or to be immune to death. So you first be immune to death before you subdue death. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Before you put debt under perpetual, you need radical power. You need a throne to be at work. You know why I think that this restoration army, I'm rounding my thoughts, Pastor, is a army of is a defender army. You know the reason why they want to judge and put debt under subjection? Me, I think that before this age, in the seasons of the apostles, our fathers, they overcome debt, but they didn't put it under subjection. Because the rod of iron is a gift to the man child. What did I say the rod of iron is? Now, the man child is a corporate member church. In the times of the apostles, you have only one or two few people coming to that. In fact, in the era of the seven churches, there were not plenty to him that overcome, to him that overcome. What they really wanted was a mass company of overcomers. It's very difficult to get it. But that miracle will happen in the last days. Yeah. That's the 144,000. To get a corporate member body, become overcomers, is not easy. Paul could say he finished his course. Not many people could say it. So it's a problem. So even though you had overcomers, you didn't have death being subjected. So the reason why death must be subjected is so to clear the way. Once its death is subjected, they close the age. So that's why, have you ever noticed that? You know them Paul, they wage warfare. The way John appended in the final quest is so beautiful. You need to read that book if you have not read it. Is that the cloud of witnesses, they are looking unto us. If they had finished it, even though they finished it personally, they did not finish it corporately in terms of the agenda of God for the whole age. So that's why they are waiting. They are looking on us. They are a cloud of witnesses. So the generation of the first apostles, they went far, but they did not put death under the feet of Jesus. So we have an assignment to live for. Beautiful thing. I don't know what you want to live for. I don't know. Amen. If I'm really talking to soldiers here, I don't know what you are. What are you? Ask yourself, what am I living for? What are you really living for? What's the purpose of your life? That life cannot be, that life will not matter to God if it's not to pursue the highest purpose of God. To live in the body is a privilege. To serve God's purpose. So I can tell you, then Paul left space for us. They didn't clean the whole plate. Because if Paul had finished it, they would have closed the age in their time. There would be no devil to fight. There would be no debts to overcome. They would have finished all the spoils of war. If they have finished all the battle, there's no decoration for you, Tosin. There's nothing to decorate you with. There's nothing to reward you with. So thank God they didn't finish the battle. I am thanking God. So that I have my own slot. Oh, some of you don't appreciate this. In your mind, let them all about to go talk about. No, if they are finished the age, we won't be here. So the fact that we are here, it means that the battle has not been. There's much to be done. There's work. See, there's work. Ishewa. Ishewa. Your life is not for yourself. Your marriage is not for yourself. Even your children are not for you. Your children are the heritage of the Lord. And this is your own. Don't steal God's children from God. Children are the heritage of the Lord. The womb, the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's not your reward. A lot of people, God gave them children. They took the children away from God. Amen. You should be happy that your children are seeking God. Amen. If they are going to a club, you'll be happy, Abby. It's not a problem. If you have a child that is seeking God, you should be thanking God. Because if he's doing yahoo yahoo, because he got over Shisa. Amen. There are many parents now today, they have money, they cannot buy their child loving God. My wife does treatment all around. She does treatment for some children. Drugs have finished them. And their parents have money. So if you have children that are serving God, go shock pesa. So my own children are not for me. My highest prayer is, God, what's in your mind for my children? That's all. I don't have any personal plan for them to possess them. What do I want to use them for? My plan is to raise them as soldiers for Jesus. Amen. If there's anything like that, they are the arrows in my quiver. That's all. What I'm saying, that anything you have in this life, if God does not own it, is wasted. If God does not have his thumb on it, it's not useful for you. There's no gain in it. There's no gain in it. So you need to sign out your life and join the army of God. Now, when you join the army of God, you signed a death warrant. Is it death warrant they call it? Death sentence or death like affidavit. Will you sign this paper? Some of you have been watching the paper since. Oh, sign here. Some of you here, you cannot sign. Maybe you are Iowa brother. If I sign this thing, I lose this brother. Sir, if you don't sign the paper and go for the brother, you will still die. And the death will be more painful. May Jesus not take what you love to get your attention. You have not seen that one before. If you love anything more than Jesus, that thing can go. And you still serve God last. You will now serve God with loss. You serve God with loss. Don't let your soul love anything more than the Lord. Don't love your husband more than the Lord. Don't love your wife more than the Lord. I'm not saying don't love your wife. I say more than. Don't love your children more than the Lord. Don't love your business more than the Lord. Don't love ministry more than the Lord. Don't love money more than the Lord. Don't love yourself more than the Lord. Anything you love more than the Lord, it will come after it. The problem of Israel was idolatry. The same problem of Israel, talk about, is the same problem with the church. What is idolatry? We love things more than the Lord. Anything that we love more than the Lord constitutes an idol. And God does only one thing to idol. He destroys idol. Please join the army of the Lord. And join this particular one. You see, this exceeding great army is a special squad in the army of the Lord. Join this squad. You will lose things, though. I won't lie to you. You can't be part of this squad and you don't have, you will count losses. Yes. This one, you lose this. You lose opportunity to become this. You lose opportunity to become that. Yes. You will lose things, but you will gain. Yes, sir. You will gain things everlasting. You will lose opportunity. I won't lie to you. I know the life of a person. You cannot follow Jesus unto the end without counting losses. You will lose things. You will even lose your own life. I'm not talking about losing your physical life. You will lose your life, but you will get it back. You get it in another dimension. God always pays us at the end of the day. But I want God to pay me with himself. So I am calling us to enroll. A triumphant call, a clarion call to join the army The army that will bring down the greatest adversary of the purpose of God in the universe. The one that the first century church could not conquer. They left it for us. Can we be that generation? That can really go far with God. The first century church went far. So what I'm telling you is not an easy feat. Those guys went far. Seven churches went far. They went far. They went far. Seven churches. Ephesus. Laodicea. Philadelphia. Philadelphia got to the place of the key of David. What a journey. What a feat. What a church. What a generation. They got to a place where a door, God promised that I'll open a door that no man can shut. That's the door of the prince. Ezekiel 44. They went that far. God promising them things eternal. They went that far. They went that far. And yet, God did not come in their day. Jesus did not physically come in their day. So there is a plan of God for our generation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, thank you. Let me just round up. Did you get anything today? Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then come at the end, okay? There's so much to say. Let me just try my thought. So we are going to be doing this for most of this year, not even January alone. I'm sure there's something in the mind of God for us. I believe so. You know, the way I see it, God wants to quickly do a work in us. Asikunlo. Arayomi did a prophecy, you know. Arayomi has some level of grace. He said 5 years more. He said, I've been listening to you. I've been saying that. He said 5 years more. That God is giving the church 5 years. Only God knows what is ahead. Well, whichever way, even if there's nothing, let's prepare. Joel 3. Yes, that's Joel 3. Let the weak say, I am strong. Beat your shall say into swords. So the future will be a tough one. I heard recently, they said there's another virus in China. HMM, only God knows the name. I asked him, I said, why China? Shall we won't say virus in China? Why China? There's another, currently there is another virus. They are wearing face masks in China as I speak. And I'm telling you, some dangerous prophets are already prophesying already that it's going to spread. There's one terrible prophet in America. I forgot his name. Maybe something Douglas. He was the one that prophesied Trump that bullets will pass here. The guy is terrible. That guy is terrible. I say, they have been saying it since last year. I just even discovered that they have been prophesying about something about the virus. Well, I don't even know what to pray. You know, when prophets are prophesying, you don't know what to pray. Maybe you can pray for mercy. You don't even know what to pray. Just pray for mercy. I'm saying that God wants to quickly prepare his army. Yes. He quickly wants to equip us. We don't have all the time. We don't have all the time. That's why God is preparing special kind of churches where he will do it. And it's not even, he wants to do it systematically. We don't have all the time. We don't have all the time. So I believe that God will breathe over this year. Amen. This 2025, God will grant us so much victory. Amen. We will do so much in a short time. Amen. By so much, I mean many of you will be raised. Amen. I said many of you will be raised. Amen. I said many of you will be built. Amen. You will turn from civilian to soldiers. Amen. You will turn from otondos to soldiers. Amen. We have many in the body of Christ that are otondos. They're just warming chair. They can't deal with any spirit. Looking for people to pray for you, to fast for you, to do everything for you. That is not what we are raising. We are raising an army of believers that are built up, that know God, that can walk with God, can advance the frontiers of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's close. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. from verse 1. I close on this note. We'll continue. I won't say next week, but we'll continue. Okay. Some other people will do that job next week. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So these are curriculums of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are also hammers. Who in presence and base among you, and being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be what? Bold when I'm present with that confidence. Wherewith I think to be bold against some. We think of us as if we walked what? According to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, do not war after the flesh. Meaning our war is not according to the flesh. It's not a physical war. It is not human war. It's not with the intellectuals of man, intelligences of man. We don't walk after the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. Now you know that your walking is your warring. What did I say? Come on, say that with me. Say that one more time. You war spirit by your walk. Huh? So if I'm not walking in the flesh, it means I'm walking in the spirit. So, Pastor CG, if I'm walking in the spirit, I am warring in the spirit. Come on. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. People of God, 2025, you do not war after the flesh. Yeah. Never forget it's only out in the flesh. Yeah. Don't allow the enemy to pull you into the flesh. Yeah. Your war is not in the flesh. Now, Satan will always want you to remain in the flesh. Yeah. And when you are trying to break out of the flesh, he wants to pull you back into the flesh. Because once you're in the flesh, you are fleshy. Yeah. You become better meat for Satan. So, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So nobody is your enemy. Receive wisdom and discernment to walk in love and mercy and forgiveness and forbearance and high wisdom. Even with, you know, there are advanced enemy in the body. People like Alexander. That's an advanced enemy in the body because he was harming Paul. Now, he was not just harming Paul. He was harming what Paul represented. Shall you understand? I'm sure they have shown him mercy for a season. Paul is a man of love. If Paul said the Lord reward him, it means that Alexander has finished evil works. This man is not an ordinary person. He has consistently done evil. I heard Baba Adeboye say today, he said, you know, people went to put him as allergy and all that. Is it not somebody that did the AI? You are not even afraid. You are abusing someone like Baba Adeboye. You are not afraid. That man is an holy man. I know what I'm saying. You know, I think I was teaching in Anamnesis. I said, holiness is meekness. You want to know someone that is holy? He's a meek man. That man is a meek man. Don't be fighting people like that. So he now said something, I was just laughing. He said, my daddy said that unfortunately for those kind of people, how did he put it? He said they will not survive this year. He said, mocking with Christ. He said, but it's those that mocked him. He said, unfortunately they will not survive this year. He said, it's not me that said it though. It's my daddy that said it. Actually, that man is hardly like that. If he's in the house, you have died since. Even as you are doing the AI, you are dying. You know. But for daddy anybody to say that, unfortunately, my daddy said, he didn't even say that he said, I'm showing you meekness. My daddy said that you will not survive this year. I'm telling you that a meek man is a high weapon of war. A meek man is a high weapon of war. So when you grow in meekness, don't worry about your adversaries. God has a way of handling them. It's either they repent or they are destroyed. So your warring is not the flesh. Your warring, don't fall into the flesh. Don't strive with anyone. Receive grace to forbear people and love people. Even if it's when you are crying to forgive, cry till you forgive the person. You know, there's some forgiveness. You owe me my bolo jue, and Jeko Jade. All of my Fuelanka chief. But don't hold anybody. Don't hold anybody in grudges. Walk away. Walk away from bitterness. Walk away from strife. Walk away from gossip. Walk away from slander. Walk away from evil imaginations. Walk away from bringing your brother down. Walk away from fighting brother. It's not good to fight brethren. Yes, you are fighting God. Yes, don't fight brethren. When you correct brethren and you try to admonish and they don't listen, just put them before the Lord. Don't fight them. Don't allow somebody's a brethren weakness to push you into the flesh. Because Satan can move to a brother to attack you.
Yeah.
Don't be wise and discerning. Don't fall into the flesh because of a brother's infirmity. It does not worth it. When you're eating right, once you're right, you're a niloma agba. You pass on going ilajai. I'll try for you. I'll try for you. No, they listen. I'll try for you. No, they listen. I'll go show you. What Babi Barakala? What Babi Barakala? So I don't go to Barakala this year. Amen. Oh, you didn't get what I'm saying? My lossy Barakala. Don't go and fight in Angola. Don't fight. Avoid fighting. Walk away. Pray. Do prayer walk. Follow peace with all men, with all holiness, of which no man shall see God. Show Pharaoh alone. Somebody that wants to see God does not have time fighting people. I mind my business. Even me, I mind, you know, there are some things happening in the church. When you are end time prophetic people, at times you want to enter things and not. So when I see something, I just move on. I don't want anybody to cover me. I don't want to be too critical. I am not their servant. I'm not their boss. Some people are spoiling church. Are you Jesus Christ? You know, you can, because of that thing, enter into the flesh. So at times when I see some things I'm not pleasant in the church, that he wants to provoke me, I just quickly scroll away. In fact, I unfollow some people on Facebook. I block some things away. I don't want to see something that will provoke me. Emi koni master, Jesus talk me one soft problem once. I want to keep my heart. Wow, to keep your heart. To keep my heart, man. It's better I don't know why you are doing something. If I'm ignorant about it, it will not confuse me. I keep loving you and wishing you the best. It's not good to know too much. When you want to poke nose, when some people are talking, you are eavesdropping. You let your antenna. Wala fun, come to my disturb. You go and hear something that will disturb you, worry you all through the air. Is it not better that you don't know? Is it not better that you don't know? Protect your heart. Huh? Focus. Focus on God. Some brother are fighting. What's your business? Are you their pastor? Huh? Pray for them. You can't solve the problem. There are some things you should know your measure. Maybe something you can handle. You know that this one is beyond you. Huh? Some couples have problems, sir. And you are not married. Oje sakuro, sir. You want to mock somebody that is somebody slap his wife and is a dicky in church. Sir, and you are not married. You don't know if you are going to kill your own wife. You don't even have wife. You don't know what it means to live with a woman. So you know what it means? If you know, if you live with a woman, if you have lived with a woman for a while and God has helped you, you can't judge anybody. You only know His grace. Allah no help go. We are not better than anybody. Somebody told me, somebody saw me and said, we envy you. We're kidding, we are looking up to you. I said, I don't have a perfect home. Don't envy me. I'm not have a perfect home. God is, I'm only enjoying grace. That's all. God just helped me and my wife. It's only grace we're enjoying. We are not yet perfect. And because of that, I don't judge imperfect homes. Don't judge wrongly, lest you be judged. I'm giving you all kind of wisdom. Things that trap you into things. You can't be judging a minister. Minister to long pay. Is it you that called him? Were you there when I called him? Were you there when I gave him his assignment? So what's your own? You think Jesus is not wiser than you? Jesus knows how to manage his ministers. Why don't you focus on your own work with God? If you cry, Lara, go and pray. Pray well. Pray for the church. Enter into the ministry of helps. Intercede for the church. Intercede for churches. Intercede for ministers. I'm even careful how I talk about churches. Other churches. We have to be careful. We have to show love. There was a time there was so much assault on Chosen. I defended them. I am a Chosen. Me too, I am a Chosen. Are you not a Chosen? I am a chosen generation. First Peter chapter 2. Show chosen. And a lot of Christians were joining them and assaulting them. It's not good. We are also chosen now. What the one that is worse is that a minister of the gospel goes into a secular podcast show tearing down the church. Sir, you don't know God. You don't know God. So unbelievers are now saying, hey, so say that my own don't cast. You just say, you don't cast. I'm a minister of the gospel. You don't have a Davidic heart. And God is going to give you a season to repent. If not, your troubles are coming. Nobody can fight against the church and win. Listen to this. Listen, let me round up with this. So, nobody fights with the church in a weakness and win. Jesus does not defend anybody that fights with his church. He loves his church too much. If you want to see him, he won't tear. He will come and meet you. Because you have your own weakness. You now sit in a podcast and you're analyzing church. And some audience are laughing. Well, that minister, their own has casted. And you are sitting down. And you're a minister of the gospel. What are you representing? Even if your brothers fight you and reject you because you are saying the truth, you should still love them still. Yeah. We have that hope to love and bear our brothers. And we don't wash our linen in public places. Hallelujah. May God give us wisdom. Amen. I'm showing you wisdom to resist the devil this year. Love your leaders. Pray for them. If you have a unit leader, don't fight your unit leader. Submit to your unit leader. Submit to your KCC leader. I don't believe in submission, sir. You will suffer assault. You will not be immune to satanic assault. Submission at times does not mean that you agree. You know, we work it in marriage, but we don't bring it to brotherhood. My wife submits to me not because she agrees with me all the time, but she submits to me because I'm the head of the home. She needs to play safe. If she ruffles alone, evil spirits will come after her. So saying his submission is safety for her. Does not mean she's in agreement with everything I do, but she has to what? Stay in submission. It's the same thing in your unit head. Your unit leader is not doing may have flaws, but still submit. Don't stand in disunity. You can disagree, but don't be in disunity. And when you disagree cautiously. You present your point cautiously. So that they don't fire you, evil spirits. Stay under authority. Pray for your leaders. Love them. I hear not them like the Bible says. Love your brethren. Love your wife. Honor the brotherhood. Honor the king. This is how we become what? Resisting. We get to resistance. We are forming resistance against the assaults of darkness. So though we walk in the flesh, we don't know what the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. What? Through God. In pulling down what? Strongholds. So these strongholds are spirits in the air. Eh? They are spirits in the air. Uh-huh. Let me just read down. I'm rounding up. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations. And every high thing that what? Exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And bring it into what? Everybody say every thought. Into the obedience of Christ. The Lord will empower you with this. Lastly, we'll still break this down and look into it more closely. Having in a readiness to what? Revenge all disobedience. So you are a revenger of disobedience. You can't be a revenger of disobedience except one thing is done. When your what? Obedience is fulfilled. Look at the word fulfilled. It's like, so obedience is a prophecy. It's the will of God. When your obedience is fulfilled. So the exceeding great army is an army of obedience. They fulfilled obedience. They did not love their life unto the death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. One, love life until it is dead. Then they can judge all disobedience. I know. The reason why you cannot judge some things is because you have not obeyed that much. Don't enter a battle that you are not ready for. There are some warfare that, Pastor CG, I cannot ward now because I don't have the obedience. I don't have the obedience. I have not obeyed that much. So, but when your obedience is fulfilled, then you can judge all disobedience. So the exceeding great army is a army of full obedience. Meaning they finish the works of God. All the works of God. They believe on him to the end. And they came into fulfillment of obedience. Empowered to now judge all disobedience. This is the vision of God for us. This is our vision as believers. This is our vision as an assembly. This is our vision as a generation. I can tell you, I look at it, rounding up. Study church history. Listen to this. I've studied church history by the grace and mercy of God. There's really no other move we are expecting. I'm telling you. Anything that they call a revival is a recycling of what was in the church that was lost. For this. What God wants to do is to finish is to finish what he has begun through the apostles in the first century. Is to finish it. Restoration agenda that started from Martin Luther has come, brought the church to the point. There is no basic truth to be restored anymore. It has been restored. I came to the point where, you know, at times you study, Bible says Daniel, true books. When you talk revival of prayer, that's not a restorational truth. There's nothing you want to talk. Is it faith? Faith has been restored. Basic faith has been restored. There's almost no biblical teaching that has not been restored. I'm telling you that we are not in an ordinary time. The time that is upon us is to finish the works of God. The what is ahead of the church is perfection. What is ahead of the church is fullness. There's nothing. If there's any other move, it's a move of fullness. If that is not your definition for the move of God, you don't understand what God wants to do. What God wants to do right now is to finish building the church. He wants to make a church the habitation for himself. That's the final work that he wants to do. Most things has been done. Year 2025 is a very special year. When seasons of the end, where God is interested in bringing the church into fullness. Can we say amen? I say, can we say amen? I say, can we say amen? Amen? So if you see God raising a revivalist, it's just to remind him of things that he has one time been in the church that has been lost in the generation that they want to bring back. But the mind of God, like Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, he said, let us then journey on to perfection. Amen. It's to come into fullness. That is what God has in mind. So we, as a generation, this is what is before us. The generations before us, they are looking unto us to run this race. Finally, let me end with Hagin's prophecy. 1988 camp meeting. So that you know the time that we're in. It's a special time. Give me that prophecy and let's end. I'll just read through. I tried to get some prophecies on the end time army. Two exciting ones. Hagin's prophecy 1988. Joiner's prophecy in the call. Joiner's prophecy in the call. You can read it. It's in the call. Change, change, change. There's coming a change in the spiritual realm. In this realm where you minister. In this realm where others who are ministers, in the spirit ministers. So I believe that God, even around the time, Yenge was already talking about ministers of the spirit. We need more ministers in the spirit. Not a change in the church world, for they will go right on with their systems, plans, and programs. They will pursue those things. They will go right on with their plans, purposes, and pursuits. But there will be what? There will arise an army. Amen. Now, when Hagin prophesied this, he prophesied is, 1988. That is about 37 years ago. We are getting closer. I said, we are getting closer. Amen. I said, we are getting closer. Amen. Some of you are not even as old as 37. So this prophecy was prophesied before you were born. It means it's prophesied for you. Huh? There will arise an army. And this at the beginning. Look at it. Oh. So Baba said this at the beginning. 1988 was the beginning of those days. 37 years ago is the beginning. So I'm asking you, use your own sense to interpret this. If 37 years ago was the beginning of the emergence of the, where are we? At least we are not at the beginning anymore.
Look, we are approaching the end.
Hell! And this is the beginning of those days. The beginning of the last days. Men and women equipped with the power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost is the name of the Holy Ghost. It's the seal of the Holy Ghost. That we walk in the Spirit. So it means you need power of the Holy Ghost to walk in the Spirit. You need power of the Holy Ghost. You need the name of the Holy Ghost. You need the revelation of the name of the Holy Ghost to walk in Christ. If you're going to be a spiritual man, you need Holy Ghost. If you're not ghosted, you can't do Christ. You cannot walk and learn Christ. Then we walk in the Spirit. Then we walk in the Spirit. Then we walk in the Spirit. Meaning that we war in the Spirit. They will learn to join forces with the forces of heaven. So this is everlasting. Walk in the Spirit is Christ. Join forces. So you will walk in the Spirit and then you are sent. They didn't say the forces will come down. Oh, you didn't. Are you with me? They will join forces. Meaning they will take flight. These are the armies of God. They will join forces with the forces of heaven and angels. So it differentiates forces of heaven from angels. So ever say forces of heaven. Ever say forces of heaven. Forces of heaven are the everlasting arms. So you will walk in the Spirit. You will learn Christ and you will take flight. You start learning the ways of God. About 2 years, God has been talking to me about ways of fathers. Ways of fathers. I know there are everlasting ways. That is the next frontier. Take flight in the Spirit. Learn the ways of the fathers. Ways of fathers are ways of heaven. Heavens are heavenly ways. They will join forces with the forces of heaven. Then angels will come and minister to them. And the angels will come and minister with them. Are there not times we minister that angels come? Prophecies bring them out. And Michael himself, on certain occasions, when those majestic things, those things of what? Great importance. So, ever say majestic things? Majestic. Say it again, no? Majestic things are things of the majesty on high. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. There are things pertaining to God. Things pertaining to God are things of His majesty. Things of great importance. So look at what God is calling great importance. Will you not look for what God calls great importance? Concerning the last days. Hallelujah. He Himself will come and make Himself known to many and bring them a message from God. And so, the change. It's time to change. Tell your neighbor, say, it's time to change.
Time to change.
So please, don't be the same person you were in 2024. Don't be. It's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous to become the same person you were last year. You have to lose more flesh. Lose more pounds. Lose more darkness. Lose it more. Lose it more. Lose it more. It's time to walk in a little different direction. Oh, thank God for Baba. It's time to walk in a little different direction. It's time to lay aside man's thinking. I said that we open your eyes.
Amen.
You stop seeing men as trees.
Amen.
You stop seeing things. You always see things from one angle. But they're shitting in here. I said, God, they will change your sight.
Amen.
When they don't open your eyes, you see things like ordinary people. So it's time to change. It's time to walk. It's time to lay aside man's thinking, man's program, man's way of what? Doing things. Coffee. Life, man, sile. Leave animalistic ways away. Leave fleshy ways. Stop doing things like mere men. Don't approach your life ordinary anymore. Walk in the power of the Spirit. Don't do business like a mere man. Don't do marriage like a mere man. Don't do your career as a mere man. Walk in the Spirit. Men's program, men's way of doing things. Hear from heaven. Oh Lord Jesus. Hear from heaven. Hear from heaven before you step into the pulpit. Hear from heaven before you step into the pulpit. Hear from heaven before you step into the pulpit. Hear from heaven before you speak. And then, you will speak the oracles of God. And the Lord will confirm His word with signs following. Come on, begin to thank the Lord. Come on, talk to Him. Let us begin to thank Him. It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new season upon the earth. Come on. Come on, begin to talk to the Lord. Come on, begin to talk to the Lord. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Mina krome shashamote. Rabbekulia brones seferego mote. Pagojo jomenia frepeka lubronia mote. Ragadamanisha shomenia labronia bromote. Rapepeko lebrenia. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost? Come on, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Mago jojo menia frepepepepelo. Repepepepepelo. 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 Come on, pray, pray, pray for yourself that God will grant you grace in 2025. You will walk in the Spirit more. You will walk in the Spirit more. You will walk in the Spirit more. You will walk more in the Spirit. You will leave the way of men doing things. You will live the way of men doing things, men program, man's plans, man's pursuit. You will journey away from it. You will journey away from it. You walk more into life. You walk more into Spirit. You walk more into Spirit. You walk more into Spirit. Receive the breath of the Spirit. Receive the breath of the Spirit. Be full of the Spirit. Ralebo shatadata. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Mayele brenia frepepe colebronia savaranataya. Bagoje jebele frebenia lobronia fekelebraniata. Come on, lift up your hands and begin to give Him praise, because God will give you strength in this year. He will grant you grace. Through our God we shall do valiantly, for it is Him that tramples over the enemy. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Come on, begin to thank the Lord. Wave your hands and thank Him. The Lord has visited us He has visited us today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.